Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, when we become a believer in Christ, we become a Christian, we are so grateful of God's grace and mercy in our life, and how he loved us and forgives us. And we think, you know, wow, you know, all the things that I've done wrong, or where I've sinned, or where I've had bad motivation, or selfish living, or wrong thinking, or all the different things that seem that we seem to operate under. And he comes knowing all that and loves us and forgives us and begins to live in us. And we develop this living relationship with him. It's alive. It is like having a relationship with a person, because that is who he is. He is not a God of made by the hands of men, made of wood or stone. He's a living God. And we can have relationship with him. And he knows how to get our attention. And he knows how to speak to us. And so when we're new believers or a newer Christian, we kind of focus on that relationship and learning and growing. And then it's interesting that as we develop in faith and we grow, or maybe we don't grow so much, we've just been a Christian for a while, we start to kind of look at others around us. And some believers inspire us. Some believers cause us to wonder, scratch our heads a little bit. Some believers, we understand they're a Christian and their profession, but, you know, we might see things in their life that we think, you know, I don't want to be the judge, but that just doesn't seem right. It doesn't fit. Or we look at them and say, oh, I guess that's okay, because they're a Christian and I'm a new Christian, and or been a Christian for a while, and boy, I guess that's okay and acceptable. I guess God's okay with that, or he's not okay with this. And so sometimes we go through that in our life. And I want you to know it's okay. We need to ask the right questions. We need to make sure that we go back to his word and not always look to the life of another person. There is only one holy and righteous. It is Jesus Christ. And the rest of us, by faith, are righteous and moving along, hopefully growing in faith and becoming more like him. In that process, there are some traps that sometimes are set for us or that we set for ourselves in the way that we deal and look at others who call themselves believers or Christians, and we see something in their life that doesn't seem to fit. In other words, we think it's improper for a Christian, or something that we don't have the liberty or freedom to do. And I want to talk specifically this morning about how do we respond, how do we process, you know, when we're pursuing the Lord, wanting to grow in him, and we see people around us that maybe they don't match the scripture. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. You have to excuse me, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold. And it's not Florida's fault. Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Say gentleness. Gentleness. Say it again. Gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. In other words, if you look at a brother, sister, and they are caught in a sin, we have different approaches. People approach things differently. Sometimes, you know, motivated by our personality or our natural tendency. Some are like, none of my business, don't want to get involved, and, you know, well, that's not my job. And others are like, you know, jumping down people's throats, confronting at every turn. And somewhere in between those two, we discover faith, compassion, and responsibility. And there is this balance that we have to grow in that is led by the Spirit. And I want you to know that we are all growing, hopefully growing, and moving along in our faith where we become more like Him. There are still some things that have to be removed from our lives, from my life. Still got to be washed, got to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I have to love Him more and prove it by obeying Him more. You know, we've got to, like the Scripture says, die to self, but don't stop there and just die to self. We have to allow Christ to live in us. That is it, Him who lives in us. And so, you know, we walk through this as a Christian. We're trying not to stumble. We're trying not to be a stumbling block. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure that everybody that goes to call Restore, in other words, a person who is stumbling, tripping, or caught in sin, I'm not sure that always we are doing things best. You know, even, and this can lend itself into relationship that's, you know, when it says brother or brothers, sisters, other believers, you know, this can lend itself to more than just a stranger, but even lends itself into parenting and how we look at our children, how we have relationship with maybe a friend, someone who's a little closer to us in our Christian walk, our faith. And, you know, it's possible for us to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. We can find scriptures and pull them out that seem to match our motivation to go aggressively, you know, straighten this person out. And sometimes we get in the way of what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to do, and we don't leave room for Him. And we can say things like, well, the Spirit's working in me and through me, and God loves them, and I love them, and so I want to go help them. And sometimes our approach and timing and all of those things really get in the way. So I want to encourage you that whatever the relationship is, if you see someone who is struggling, tripping, caught in sin, however you want to label it, that you remember this word gentleness, because what is it that draws people to repent or ask forgiveness and turn around? What is it that draws them to that? God's what? God's kindness. It's the Scripture says that God's kindness draws people to repent. God's kindness. Sometimes a kindness seems a little bit abrupt in that, hey, I need to talk to you about something. God will come and say, hey, Randy, I got to talk to you about something. And His kindness is sometimes rebuking me, reproving me, correcting me, instructing me. That can be a kindness because the Word of God brings life to us and sustains us. And so when we look at, you know, brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual, you know, that word spiritual in this context, in I don't want to get too heady or Greek, you know me, I'm kind of a third grade level education guy anyhow. But this word spiritual here really means without carnal motivation. In other words, my motivation in going to this person is not for my reputation, that people are going to hear about it and they're going to think I'm a really nice guy, or that I'm going to win some kind of points with God for eternity, that I'm doing something really supernatural It's the motivation that is without carnal or selfishness or feeding our own ego and flesh. It is simply the motivation that, you know what? You want to see that person free. You want to see them move beyond this and grow and develop in faith. You want to see them continue to be blessed of the Lord, right? You want, those are the motivations. Now, it's interesting, too, and just a little side note, as the scripture is written by Paul under the inspiration of the Spirit, it says this, brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, it doesn't mean that you're the police and you're the one that has to go catch them in the act. Did you hear that? Say this, the Holy Spirit lives in me, but I am not the Holy Spirit. We can get in the way, folks. And sometimes we mean to probably do well. The other part is for us to say, I have no responsibility in it. It's not my business. Because you just don't want to get involved. You know what? It says those who are spiritual, those who are without the carnal motivation, go to restore in the spirit of what? Say it. Gentleness. It is the kindness of God that draws people to repentance. Gentleness, because it sounds like such a soft word to us. Kind of like, you know, you could walk all over gentleness and, you know, it's never going to do anything. It's just going to take it. I want you to know that gentleness has such a power and such an influence on people. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you come out blazing with your guns, what are they going to do? They're going to pull their hog leg out and start shooting back. Gentleness doesn't guarantee that they're going to listen to you, but with the breath of the Spirit, it sure increases the odds for their betterment if we come in gentleness. And you can call it assertive in your mind, but you have to watch and make sure that it's not some aggressive thing. Give room for the Spirit of the Lord to convict. You know, it's interesting. And I remember this quite well from parenting. But now that we have a baby back in our house weekly with our little granddaughter, you know, you're reminded of things. Hey, I remember. And, oh, remember when Brittany did this and when Jessica and Sydney and, you know, Brock and what he still does. I'm kidding. I could do that because, you know, he's still here. Still living with us, graduating this May. Yay. And you will graduate. when they were babies, they got to scream in the grocery store. You didn't want them to. But when they're an infant and they're having their little fit or scream or whatever, I mean, I did not grab them out of that little car seat in the shopping cart and pick them up and shake them and spank them and say, that's it, time out for you. You know, put them back in and say, you better be quiet. They're a baby. They don't know that that's inappropriate conduct in public. They haven't even said mama yet. You know, they're just babies. This is, everything's new. They don't know. They just know that, maybe they know they're in some strange place. As they got a little older and they could walk by the cart, then that kind of conduct wasn't really allowed because they grew. They were learning. They were knowing more. They couldn't act like that. And falling down on the in the aisle on their stomach and screaming, every parent's nightmare. You know, thinking that this is going to mean that they're going to get whatever they're screaming for. Sorry. That in our house, that is not going to get you what you want. And hopefully you're not lying down in front of the grocery cart. Because we kept walking. And embarrassing as it was, you have to go through it once. In our house, once. And then it was, you don't act like, you don't act like that. That's not how we act. And as it got a little older, you reminded them of those things. As it got a little older, then you had leverage because you were the one that dropped them off in front of their friends at school. You could get them back. Brittany, do you remember me? You want me to drop you off like a block away from school when I had the vehicle that was pulling the big homemade trailer? Oh, yeah. This one here? She, uh-uh. That, mm-mm. I don't even know you. All the moments I could get them back. As they got older, they understood that, you know, this is how to conduct ourselves. This is how we live. This is how we make decisions. And so as they grew and they were growing, there was more encouragement. They knew parameters. They knew how to, you know, make decisions, how we live. So we began to correct accordingly and instruct accordingly. You know, allow some time for believers to grow. You don't have to shoot right into their life. They just got saved, and now you got to read them the riot act all about being holy. Listen, let me tell you something. Somebody who knows how to get their attention better than you and I do, and who is holier and knows how to bring holiness to a person better than you and I do, and that is the Holy Spirit. He knows how to convict of the world, people, of righteousness and sin. He knows how to do that. And I'll tell you, we sometimes mislead people on what holiness is because we can read them the things that are important to us. And usually the things that are important to us are the things that we have mastered in our life. See? So we can think we are spiritual and we are the ones to go and restore. And let me tell you about this because, you know, you can talk about the stuff you got mastered. Or maybe not mastered, maybe some things that you never even had to deal with. A spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself so that you're not tempted. Bear one another's burdens so that you can fulfill the law of Christ. Love God and love people. Look at Matthew chapter 7. And I've read these verses and talked about these verses, but I want you to know these are verses that I periodically read that feed me and remind me and sustain me. And so I periodically go back to these verses as a pastor and remind us as a church. Because we pray for a visitation of God. We want a move of God among us. And if we don't look at this and allow the Lord to master this in us, then there can be miracles and all this, these kinds of works of God among us. But without the character, it'll just become a bunch of noise. Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Judge not that you not be judged." You know, there's always this conflict between believers. They say, well, I don't want to judge. Or you stop judging me. You're not supposed to judge. And who am I to judge? And we say all these things. And I want you to know the word here, it says, do not judge or you shall be judged. It's talking about making a final judgment. Not judging what's happening, but a final judgment. And we're going to continue to read. But on other occasions, Jesus talks about judging, like John chapter 7. He says, when you do judge, judge rightly. So if we're on this big, campaign of don't judge, don't judge, don't judge, I want you to know that you're missing part of the scripture. Because you are supposed to make judgments, not final judgments, because there's only one judge. He'll make final judgments. But there are things that we are warned about, things that we can judge. When we do judge, we're supposed to judge rightly. And by the way, where you need to leave a little room is you only see the snapshot of what happened before you. And behind that snapshot is a lifetime of something and experiences and things that have gone on, other things behind it that you have maybe not seen. So keep in mind that maybe what you're seeing and tasting right now is not the complete story. And so maybe you need to back off a little bit and gain some understanding, or on this occasion, keep your mouth shut and mind your own business. There's a time for that, to live peaceably. Where we're moved to responsibility, then we've got to obey the scripture. And it says this, verse 2, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So understand that there's this tally, there's this going on of your motivation and how you process and how you make judgments or how you judge. There's this monitoring that's going on. Our attitude, it is seen in the spirit. It can be invisible to others. You can throw out disclaimers before you say what you're going to say to try to sway the people and all of this. But God sees behind all of that. If what you're saying is really true or it's just a facade. So that you put out the disclaimers so that you now feel free to say what you really want to say. To maybe cover up motive behind you, behind all of that. But God sees all of that. And so he tells us, you be careful because the measure you use, I'm going to use with you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye but don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Isn't that interesting? That we can say criticisms about people, about something in their life, and yet in some ways it's like, is it the kettle calling the pot black? If not, if I said it backwards, you know what I mean. It's correct. Thank you. Was that Desiree? Thank you, Desiree. I noticed more your voice than seeing you. These are my up-close glasses, and you're far away. It's the kettle calling the pot black. It's like, yeah, uh-huh, sure, and yet we've got something in our own life. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye but don't notice the log that's in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't want somebody messing with something detailed of mine or my body in some surgery process if the doctor can't see. No, thank you. Appreciate your knowledge, appreciate your willingness. I want a second opinion. It's just not right. So as we look to take the speck out of someone's eye or restore them because they were caught in something, what's the first step in restoring somebody? It's this. Judge yourself. That's what he's saying. Before you go to somebody, you better judge yourself. Before you go to restore or take a speck out of somebody's eye or bring some type of instruction, encouragement to change and live right, then here's the first step in being a minister to them, is check yourself. And it's not just check yourself in the area where they're struggling, it's check yourself. It's examine yourself. It's make things right between you and God. Listen, none of us are perfect. We all know that. We get that. But we can move to a place where we are sensitive to repentance and to His leading, and through faith we are made righteous, and that we can come in humility because we know we need God's grace and mercy too. Not like, hey, I'm all cleaned up and I'm ready to go and you're filthy. Well, that sounds pretty self-righteous. And now we come with a totally different attitude than the attitude that Christ came. And if anybody could come with pride and purity, it's Him. And He didn't. You look through the gospel stories and how people who were caught in sin and how He treated them. And how He restored them. And how He came in gentleness. Probably one of the great moments is the woman who was caught in adultery. And the community had stones and rocks in their hand, and they threw her down before Him. And Jesus says, those of you who haven't sinned, you can throw the first stone. Nobody threw a stone. See, they weren't ready to restore and do those things, the ministry of Jesus, because they themselves had a log in their eye. There's no way they could remove the speck from this woman. And then Jesus kind of gets down low, kind of writes in the sand, and He just says to her, where are your accusers? See, they all left. That woman's life was changed that day because of the gentleness of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you look at your history or your past or something you've been caught in. I want you to know something. The Lord's gentle. He knows how to be strong and He knows how to be firm. But I want you to know, when He first comes and there's a conviction, He comes with kindness, He comes with gentleness. If we kind of barrel through that, He'll continue to pursue us with gentleness and with love, and then He'll increase the attention intensity to say, hey, you need to stop. It goes from, now listen, there's busy cars here, don't cross the street now, okay, you got to look both ways, right? You teach them like that. And then, you know, you start to say, okay, you're going to cross with me, but you tell us when to go. And they're like, oh, yeah, no. You know, vehicle goes by. You get their attention. You get a little louder. It gets a little more assertive. You get a little more aggressive. As they don't learn, or as we barrel through things, listen, the Lord knows how to be strong, too. There's times where He convicts me gently and says, hey. And then there's times where He has taken and been real strong with me. He said, you better listen up, boy. I had to learn that because, and this is no fault, this was early on in my parents. You know, I was there first. I was the experiment. Okay? It was all new for them. You know? And Dad was, you know, hard guy, hard worker, hot-headed guy. Now he's not like that. The Lord's totally changed. And of course, he's gotten a lot older, too, which kind of mellows you out a little bit. But I remember there was no gentleness. And I took notes, and I remember. And I'm grateful for Him. Grateful for what He did right. Grateful for His mistakes. But I tried to do it a little different. You know, there are times with my son where I said, hey, man, come on. Come on, best pal. That's not best. Come on. And if he barreled through that and it happened again, I said, hey, I thought we talked about this. Getting the tone difference? Getting a little bit, hey, I thought we talked about this. Then on rare occasion, real rare, I'd stand there and I don't want to do it to you. You're not my son. He's not here. He's back in the sound booth. I know what it is to take him with the force of my hand and put him in a chair and point in his face. Because I'm trying to save his life. It's a rare occasion I've ever had to do that with my son. I'm very grateful. There are times but it all starts with gentleness. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now it goes to verse 6, and I want you to know when Jesus is speaking here, he's not changing subjects at this point. He says, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. This simply means this. In its simplest form, it just means you don't give dogs something holy. Dogs don't understand what holy is. Listen, I have got a great dog. His name is Jack. He's a German wire-haired pointer. He's wonderful at home, and he's wonderful in the field. He is a great bird dog. I am not exaggerating it. He is great. Okay? I love Jack. People love Jack. My wife even loves Jack, but it's because he has this wiry hair and he always has like this sad look on his face. So that just, you know, draws that out of her. And then she has her dog, which I ain't going to talk about. But anyhow, Jack, as wonderful as he is, I am not going to give him something holy and sacred. He doesn't have the aptitude or understanding to know that it's sacred. He doesn't know that. It's just like you're not going to take your finest jewelry and pearls and throw them before a pig. They don't have the understanding or the aptitude to know the value that you have placed on that jewelry. And Jesus is saying, listen, there are things that maybe are going on in people's lives and you want to, you know, make judgment or you want to try to restore them. Listen, if they are at a place in their life where they don't have an understanding about that, they haven't been enlightened by the Spirit of God yet, don't try to advance them about things that they are not at the place to do. It's like going back to the beginning, when our children were infants and how they conducted themselves in the grocery store compared to as when they moved along in age. They became toddlers, became grade schoolers. Then there was more instruction. There was more, you know, hey, 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 good boy, good girl. Boy, you asked nicely. Instead of having a fit, you know. Those kind of things. When they were infants, they didn't have the aptitude. So when people are new in Christ, you might think that, well, hey, they should know better. Not always do they know better and allow room for the Holy Spirit to bring revelation, enlightenment, and correction for them. Obviously, if it is something that is extremely dangerous, you need to step in. Okay? But when we look at people around us, and I know we're supposed to focus on the Lord and mind our own business, but we are called to relationship. And the motivation here is that people will be set free and people will taste of His grace and mercy more and more, and that they will be preserved for eternal life and they will become even more and more useful for others. Listen, I am so grateful for the people through time in my life who've come to me at different points and said, listen, I got to talk to you about something. Maybe it's a blind spot. Maybe you don't know this. Or maybe you know this, but you are not obeying the Lord in this. I remember being a teenager in a Sunday evening service and was sitting with some friends, which wasn't uncommon. But this particular Sunday in the evening service, I was talking to a buddy a little bit, and we were kind of joking around a little bit. It wasn't causing a big scene, wasn't real loud, but it was probably enough to distract some people around us. And I'll tell you what, the guy who was taking time to disciple me at the time, he got a hold of me after the service. you are not going to do that ever again. You're not going to act like that in church. That is not right. And you're robbing from other people. And I'll tell you what, that is not how you're going to conduct yourself, and that is not where you're heading. And you are better than this. I haven't acted like that again in church until I was a pastor. The purpose is to encourage repentance and sustain right living. And I want to remind us that the Lord has to help us understand, know where people are at, and remind us how much grace we have needed in our life. There's a time to confront. There's a time to rebuke. There's even a time on extreme occasion where the leaders of the church can expel somebody from the fellowship. I mean, that's how far this stuff can go. All based on the scripture. But is our day-to-day living and how we look at people and how they live, and we get snapshots of their character or leanness of character, what do you say we take the right approach? What do you say we look at ourselves first? And what do you say we look at that kind of grace and mercy and compassion? Why don't we look at the ministry of Jesus, the people? Leave room for the Holy Spirit. And if it moves to an opportunity where you have the opportunity to help encourage somebody, mention something to somebody, then may it be done in the spirit of gentleness and true humility, that it could be done, as Jesus said, rightly. We all need the Spirit to convict us. And at moments where we're disobeying or we're just kind of barreling through his warnings, sometimes we need someone around us to say, hey, can I talk with you? I care about you. I want you to excel spiritually. And begin to share with them and encourage them. Or allow them to tell their story. Or maybe give them opportunity to share their struggle before you ever have to confront them. Because you come in friendship and you come in gentleness, you come in genuine humility, and you befriend them. That there's a trust and they begin to open up. And now you've been part of the restoration and healing, and you never had to rebuke them. Those of you who might be sitting here, I don't want you to use this as license to tell people, see, the church always hurts me. They're always judging at me. They're always looking at me. They're always, and you use that as your campaign because maybe that was the case on one or two occasions or somewhere in your history. I want you to know we are supposed to call, we are called to judge. We're not the final judge. We don't make final judgments. But we're supposed to judge and know where there's fruit. Where I read in Galatians 6, it's coming off the heels of Galatians 5 where it talks about living in the Spirit and sowing to the Spirit. And it moves right into what we read about restoring somebody in gentleness. And it moves on, you know, and it talks about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. Things we recognize, things that people will recognize in us. The world is supposed to know we're followers of Jesus by what? How we love each other. It's supposed to be something that is judged, something that is noticeable. So don't worry about, you know, judge or not judge. Just, you know what, let's stay sensitive to the Lord. Always judge ourselves first. And that brings us this morning to a place of celebrating communion. This is a moment where we judge ourselves. This isn't about just thinking about the person who mistreated us or isn't treating us right or we're disappointed in. We need to take a look at ourselves. Where are we disappointing? Where maybe you're looking to be loved from somebody. Well, where are we loving them? Like they need to be loved or like they want to be loved? And we need to look at us. I need to look at me. I need to judge me. I need to take the log out of my eye.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.